Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Wealth Hub podcast with Phil and myself. Phil, how are we doing today?
Yeah, well, thanks, mate. How you going?
I am well. Happy Queensland Labor Day. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much. No worries. Yeah, beautiful day. It's, not too much going on, which is good.
The beauty of having Bunnings closed, I've managed to drag you on today's podcast.
That's true. And I've also gotten out of doing a lot of work in the yard, so that helps.
So people are always talking to us about money growth. And one of the key elements to that is actually managing your own money from a cash flow perspective. The reason why it's such a painful topic is because it's almost like managing a diet plan. We all know we should do it, but we never actually do it. So we're actually going to talk about the hard stuff today. So Phil, over to you. Let's go through your thoughts on cash flow money management.
Yeah, look, it's something that we've touched on in nearly every podcast, I reckon, in some form or another, but I thought it might be useful today if we actually gave people some tools and skills that they can use to sort of build a budget and start to work towards one. Mm-hmm. So I thought that's what we'd touch on. And what I was going to talk about is a concept called zero-sum budgeting, or someone's got some zero budgeting. You know, you might see it called a few different things. And if you Google it, you'll find plenty of resources out there. But really, all that means is just a fancy way of saying that every dollar that you earn has a purpose. So design your budget around having a purpose for every dollar and go from there. So what I've done is I've just thrown some stuff. So we've got a budget tool that's pretty cool that we use with our clients. So I thought I might just share that there. Also, you know, if you are one of our clients that's come on board and you're looking for some help in how to fill it out, this will show you that too while we're at it. But let's jump in and have a look.
Let's do it.
This is our budget tool that we go through with clients. Very similar to the budget I use at home. The only difference between this one and my one at home is I get a lot more granular in my one at home, but I still use the same essentially categories of breakdowns.
And for those people that are listening in, what Phil's got is Phil has basically an Excel spreadsheet that's simply opened up. We've got our clients have access to this, but there's lots of available ones around. It's got on the left-hand side, it has got your names, then it's got how often you want to categorize your expenses. Some people think about their expenses on a fortnightly basis. Other people think about their expenses on a monthly basis, and I am a bit of an odd one. I think about my expenses on an annual basis. So you can trigger all of those options. Mm. And then you can add partners as well. So you can add it's just yourself or your partner, because it usually makes more sense to have the two of you together because most expenses are shared. Probably one of the biggest areas that we see people falling over in is they'll do a budget, and then it's very easy to do one for yourself. But when you include your partner, then it's like, oh, well, you know, Sandy or Bob or whoever, they're actually not included in the advice, but actually they are included from a cash flow perspective. So one of the key areas in this is getting the time frame right, and also getting your partner to also have at least what they're earning, so you can then add that in and then can continue with what you're spending.
Yeah, exactly right. Look, in this case, I've just selected the monthly frequency. Look, I've just punched a bunch of random numbers in here, so don't look too closely at them and think expenses are too high, low, whatever. I just threw some numbers in to show an example. Effectively, we've got our monthly salaries. Now, it's important if you are filling this out, this is your after-tax salaries. This is what hits your bank account. Mm-hmm. Now, just on that point too, so this sum zero or zero-sum budgeting works really, really well if you're on a salary and you get paid the same amount every fortnight or month or whatever. It can be a bit more challenging or a bit more work if your income's variable. You know, you rely on a lot of overtime or bonuses or whatever. If your income changes, look, you probably need to really be reviewing it at the same pay frequency to make sure that you are allocating every dollar somewhere. In this particular case, for the demonstration, we've just got standard monthly salaries, makes life nice and easy. And then we've just broken down into different sections. So our regular savings. So everyone should be throwing something towards an emergency fund. Scott, you talk about that a fair bit. What do you reckon? There's plenty of arguments out there for different amounts. 3 times salary, 4 times month per month, or what do you reckon?
Well, I'm a massive believer in keeping it as 3 months.
Yep.
And then also having a bullet point list on what we are allowed to spend it on. I make the analogy is that there's examples of people who have genuinely died in the desert from thirst with full water bottles.
Yeah,
what does that analogy mean? Well, that's like because that. they don't want to drink the water because they might die, and then they die. Yep. Now, yep. Look. maybe that's an urban myth. I don't know if that's actually happened, but that's the analogy here is that your emergency account should be used. You should use your emergency account. And I'll give you examples. So emergency funds should be any emergency expenses, any emergency plumbing, any pet, you know, the pet's got hurt, you need to go to the vet. Any big unexpected expenses, you should spend it. You know, if you need to fix a dishwasher because it's broken, if you need to get the car serviced or whatever it is for non-expected events that are big, you should be using it. Yeah. So I always like to think of, like, you've got a funnel. So three times your salary, and then if it dips down, we stop putting money towards savings and we send it back to the emergency fund. And once that hits its limit, then we stop it and then we go back to wealth growth. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, and look, I was going to say just on that point too, it is really important to differentiate between expected and unexpected costs. So, you know, a dishwasher that's a year old that suddenly blows up, I would say is unexpected, but needing to replace your appliances, you know, on a maybe 5-yearly basis or whatever, should be expected. So you should have something factored into your regular budget for replacement of appliances, servicing your car, that sort of year.
I've done that.
Yeah, it should be exactly right. So yeah, savings broken down there. Home expenses, so all the standard stuff, mortgage or rent, whatever you're paying, electricity, gas, all that stuff should be listed out there. Pretty straightforward. Daily living, so groceries, childcare, clothing, all that stuff. So try and think about, you know, what would you spend over a year, break it down monthly or whatever frequency you're using, so it all sort of lines up. Now, where my personal budget differentiates a little bit between the from the tool that we use here, so still at the same categories, but then I get really granular around different things. So, you know, I have the different, you know, my boxing listed out and then the kids' sport listed out. So I've got those individual things, so I can get really granular on where my money's going and what I'm spending it on. This is a really good start. It just depends how deep you want to go into it. I would say if you're someone that's running a negative budget or really on the borderline, then you should be breaking it down as granularly as possible to see where every dollar's going. Entertainment. Now, this one's important. And again, like, I've got the individual services listed out on ours and that sort of thing. My wife and I have agreed on what's negotiable and what's not negotiable, i.e. KO had to go, but I put my foot down about Spotify. So, you know, things like that. I think it's really important here, other entertainment expenses. Now, in our house, we have a set amount each fortnight that my wife and I get as, you know, go and spend it on whatever the hell you want. Money, no questions asked, no discussion, no argument. So I would list that out here. Why I think that's really important, I'll go back to the diet analogy that you used earlier, Scott. But, you know, if I try and stick to a 100% clean diet and I only eat super healthy, I'm great for 4 days and then I go and smash the biggest meal I can find at KFC. Doesn't work. You need to have, and trying to do the same thing with the budget, trying to have 100% compliance and saving every spare dollar for most people will not work long term. It will crack because there'll be something that catches your eye that you want to go and buy and you'll go and dip into your emergency fund or whatever. So have an allocated amount that fits into your budget that you can put aside, you can spend on whatever you like. You know, you may have a little sub savings account for that money if you want to save up for something bigger or whatever, but I think it's important to build that little bit of fat in there. What that is going to look different household to household and how much fat's actually in your budget, but I think it's important.
So if we were to use as a percent, how much fat do you think someone should have in their budget? So if you know, we had, you know, right now you're listening to this podcast and you think of your partner and I'm just picking a number, let's say your monthly combined income is, say, $15,000 a month.
Yep.
How much percent would be dialing that in?
Oh, yeah, look, that's actually a good question. Mine's probably running sub 5%. Yep. But maybe I'm tight, maybe I don't know how that would go in another household, but it would be sitting around there.
So you're at about 5%.
Okay, no, a little bit less. Done some quick math off the top of my head. And then building your holiday budget, again, that's gonna look different for every family, every household. A, what's your budget like? But B, what do you like to do? You know, some people are gonna need $5,000 for a big holiday, some people are gonna be happy going camping. So that's gonna be household specific as well. Mm-hmm. So the idea of this is to go through, allocate everything you've got, and then have a look at how it all breaks down. So what we're looking at here, the number here is total surplus left over after everything in this list is paid. And that includes my savings. My surplus, including my savings, is here.
Really?
Now, that's not my actual surplus. I wish it was, but this is, again, just because I've thrown some random numbers in a spreadsheet. Now, the idea, if you're looking at this zero-sum budgeting, is the idea is this number here should be zero in total surplus. So if I've gone and completed this whole budget, every dollar should be allocated. So if I've now found myself that I've got a, you know, 44 grand annual surplus, well, first I'm going to have a little bit of a party, but then I'm going to look at what I'm doing with that money. So I'm either allocating it to further savings, or, you know, maybe I've been a bit tight in some of these areas because I've been focused on trying to save money, and now I can realize I can start to free stuff up a bit. Or maybe it's going to that, you know, that personal budget, go and spend what you want, no questions asked money, whatever. But it should all be allocated. This should be zero. Now, if this is negative or zero to begin with, that's where we probably need to start digging a bit deeper. So if that's zero and you've got no savings, or it's negative, then that's where you're...
I'll just jump in. Sometimes we find people that get a little aggressive when they're going through their expenses, and they overestimate their expenses too. So if you do this tool and you find yourself you're like well and truly in the negative, you might have overestimated how much you're spending on something. So being realistic as well when we're doing this type of budget is important. Try and open your bank account statements and get a sense on where you're at.
Yeah, exactly right. I'd say, you know, equally to seeing people overestimate expenses, we often see people massively underestimate discretionary spending.
So what does that mean, Phil?
You know, stuff that's not a bill. You haven't gotten a bill, so you've just gone out and spent money that you probably didn't have to spend because you felt like buying whatever it is that you paid for. That's your discretionary spending. So quite often I'll see people that, you know, they might tell me they save $1,000 a month, but there's nothing in the savings account. So that tells me that, you know, that money's actually going somewhere. It's being spent on something, but it's maybe not allocated to a fixed hard expense that we can quantify.
Yeah,
exactly. So that's what it's sort of called discretionary spending. So I definitely, you know, pull off a couple of months bank statements, go through them, make sure you capture everything. And a lot of banks got really cool tools for that too these days. A lot of banks are doing that stuff automatically in their apps.
Yeah.
So have a look.
So that's just discretionary is like fund money above, you know, our normal costs. Is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah, that'd be a good way to put it. Or it could even just be all those, you know, we've spoken about this a few times, with those mindless, you know, the old mindless scrolling and buying something online, or the tapping the card without really thinking about the kind of mindless purchases that maybe you didn't really need that you just did without thinking. So that would be it as well. So that's what I'd be saying to do. Pull, say, 3 months bank statements, walk through it, get a really clear picture on what you're spending, see what your surplus or deficit is, and then take the appropriate action either to save more or spend less. So it's really as simple as that. And for some people, you know, there may be a negative, you may be zero, and there may be no fat that you can cut. And in that case, you know, maybe someone start looking at Airtasker on the weekends, or I don't know, finally you've got to find a way to bring more money in.
I think it's important. That is a good point. Like, you do need to be mindful of, sometimes this is a good way of saying, look, I need to make more money. No, there's no ifs and buts. And you know, engage an advisor, engage your friends and family to see how you can make more money. There is ways to do it.
Yeah, there's stuff out there. And so, look, you know, people hate budgeting. Most people, when I ask them to go to a budget, they're like, oh, great, okay, here we go. But it's honestly, you know, it's a really worthwhile experience. You know, I got a bit lax on ours for a while, and I just went back and redid it. I think I spoke about this a few weeks back. And it was eye-opening. It was because I, you know, the savings account wasn't where I thought it should be. And when I went back through, you know, there's all these extra things, you know, you sign up for an extra streaming service here or there, or, you know, little things like that. And they start to add up. So it was actually really, really worthwhile going back and actually really assessing where we're at and what we're spending.
So Phil, can you open up? So if you Google right now, open up a new tab, and if you just go to Money Smart Budget Calculator, this is for people who, you know, if you're not a client of ours, you're considering it, you don't have access to our tools. This is also a fine option as well. This does a pretty good job of doing it. It's not at the granular level that we like to work with, but
you can get right into it. This is a good tool. I've had clients use this and return it to us before they've met with us and had access to us and that sort of thing. So yeah, definitely a good tool. And like you say, yeah, 100%. Any budget's better than no budget whatsoever. Yep. It's only worthwhile doing if you can stick to it. So you need to make sure that you're realistic about what you're spending and your discretionary expenditure and the stuff that maybe it's not a necessary expenditure, but you're not prepared to go without it.
Yeah. And I think that the element from that is that you don't have to do this every week. Like, once you do your budget and that's it, it's done. So you don't have to continually stick to you don't have to continually keep sticking to this thing and revisiting it and going through this painful process. It's okay. What we do is we set the budget, we get a good sense on what we're spending, and then we can review it once every 6 months, assuming we're on track. So don't see this as a painful process that you continually have to keep revisiting. The key element to this is that we set a plan, and then as long as we're genuinely checking back every sort of 3 or 4 months and we're on track every 6 months, you actually have to painfully go through this all the time.
No, that's right. And it's one of those really good, like, intangibles of working with an advisor that, you know, like we say, a budget's only good if you can stick to it. And having that independent third party that's looking at this stuff with you and holding you to account for what you said you were going to do,
which could be us or your partner,
it's a massive benefit.
Doesn't have to be us. Yeah, can be another person in your life.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. But I think that's a really worthwhile thing, is sort of you set your goals and have someone to keep you accountable.
Love it.
Awesome. Phil, happy budgeting.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week. See you.
All right. Cheers, guys. Thanks. Bye.